All right, thank you everyone for being here. As you said, I'm Lauren Collins. I'm a PhD student in Dr. Greg Sword's lab, and today I'm going to be talking about my work with fungal endophytes as a potential control measure for western flower thrips in cotton. So as many of you know, thrips are a major early season pest of cotton. Excuse me, I'm recovering from a cold right now. They do a lot of damage to cotton plants by piercing the leaf surface of the cotyledons and the developing terminal plant tissue, and they feed on the epidermal cells, causing, as the plant develops, these gnarled, twisted leaves, which you can see in this picture here. This results in delayed or reduced root growth, smaller plant size, smaller leaf area, and this can result in delayed fruiting and potentially reduced yields. Now, thrips are predominantly a pest up until about the fifth true leaf, and so that's where, you know, the timeline that I'm focusing on. And currently, control focuses around pesticides, either seed treatments, in-furrow treatments, or foliar applications, or a combination of those. But after attending the roundtable discussion this afternoon, it seems like even that is up for, you know, discussion right now. And there are problems with these pesticides. There is resistance that may be growing, as well as environmental concerns with the dumping of pesticides into the environment. So this leaves an opening for alternative options. Thankfully, my lab, we're working with fungal endophytes in cotton. This may be an approach we can take. We've seen positive results with aphids, as Deanna talked about earlier, nematodes, caterpillars. So I wanted to look at thrips, and maybe we can get some control with the endophytes via thrips. So Deanna did cover a lot of this earlier. I'll try not to put you to sleep. But just to review, endophytes are microorganisms, usually fungi or bacteria, that live within the plant, not causing signs or symptoms of disease at the time of sampling. And so this is a very broad definition, but this does cover things like dormant pathogens and saprobes, as well as mycorrhizae. However, I'm interested in the protective agent side of this. So many species can confer, you know, insect resistance or pathogen resistance, protection from various abiotic stresses like heat and drought. They are also capable of promoting plant growth, but for the purposes of this talk, I'm focused on the insect portion. So how do endophytes protect plants? There's been a lot of work, especially in grasses, but other crop or other plants as well. Generally, endophytes protect plants through one or a combination of these three mechanisms. They're capable of producing secondary compounds or metabolites that either deter feeding of the insect on the plant or they can reduce their fitness if they do decide to feed on the plant. They're also capable of priming the plant, so they'll induce a resistance pathway, and this can either be for insect resistance or disease resistance as well. And finally, endophytes have been shown to enhance growth in plants, so you may be able to simply escape the damage. This would be really important with thrips in the early or cotton in the early stages with thrips. If you can, you know, develop to the fifth true leaf a few days or a week earlier than, you know, an infected control, then you might, you know, miss or avoid a pesticide application that you would otherwise need. So the objectives for my work, I first wanted to show that I could inoculate various endophytes into cotton. So I started, I selected seven different treatments. I wanted to work with entomopathogens. So entomopathogens, independent of plants, are capable of colonizing and infecting insects, killing them. But it's also been shown that they can infect plants as well, and cotton specifically. So I worked with Bavaria bassiana, this is a commercial variety, Botanigard. Bacillomyces lilacinus, which is also now referred to as Purpurocilium. Catomium globosum. These past two we recovered directly from cotton in a field survey in 2011. Met52 and Metarhizium anisobliae. I want to point out with these two, they're the exact same species. Met52 was just the commercial product. It's a spore-covered granule, so I just used the spores covering the granules directly, whereas Metarhizium was the spores grown on PDA and producing fresh conidia, but it's the exact same species. Bacillomyces formosaurosteus is no-fly, another commercial product. And then finally I used a combination of Bavaria and Psyllomyces together to see if you could get some sort of, you know, additive effect of the two. And finally, or as well as a control I used. I also wanted to expose cotton cotyledons to western flower thrips and then assess feeding the emerging immatures the total number of inviable eggs and, you know, to make sure that we were able to get colonization. So my experimental design, I began by inoculating sterile cotton seeds. I used a spore solution at a rate of 1 × 10^6 conidiotherium spores per milliliter, and I soaked these seeds overnight and planted them. Then after an 11-day period, I would cage a single adult female thrips on one cotyledon. So you can see here in the picture, I have a petri dish where there's a slit on the side for the petiole to rest in, and then I'd wrap it in parafilm. This has been the best cage set up to make sure your thrips don't escape that I've found. And I would leave the female in there for a period of 3 days, after which point she would get removed, and I would count the total number of feeding scars as a measure of feeding. After this point, I would remove the cotyledon and place it in a petri dish and let it sit for 4 days to collect any viable immatures that were going to emerge out of the leaf. Then I would take that leaf, any viable immatures were gone by now, and stain it using the McBride protocol to count the inviable eggs. The remainder of the plant tissue was used to confirm colonization. So getting into the data, I just want to set the chart up for you first. You can see here at the bottom, I've got the 7 different endophytes and the control. The control is here in the center for you all to see. And then on the y-axis, I've got the total feeding area, so it's a surface area. Now, you can see with the ANOVA, there was a significant interaction overall. Relative to the control, none of the endophytes were significantly different than the control, but there were within endophyte differences. So you can see here Bavaria and, you know, MET52 were pairwise very different from one another. I do want to point out the difference between MET52 and Metarhizium. Again, these are the exact same species, just the commercial variety and then the, you know, PDA, fresh conidia. And overall, the data, they had very different results. So even though it's the same species, something in the commercial formulation is having a negative effect on the plant or a positive effect on the insect. That's, you know, kind of interesting to me. Another thing I want to point out is some of these had very small sample sizes. So for all of this data, there are trends that would probably tease out better if I could add more samples. Moving on to the total hatched eggs. So these are the viable larvae that are immatures that emerged out of the leaf tissue. You can see Metarhizium did really well here. Very few viable immatures were emerging out of these plants. Everything else was roughly the same. Again, if I had larger sample sizes, this would probably tease out a little bit differently. And again, major differences between this commercial and the auger Metarhizium. But if you look at the control, I know nothing's significantly different from that, but generally they had less eggs hatching out of the endophyte-treated plants than the control. For the total unhatched eggs, this is what I stained, the McBride stain. There was nothing significant here, but you can, just looking at it, there's a definite, catomium is very interesting here. They were very efficient. I rarely came across eggs that just didn't hatch. So generally anything they put into the plant did well, which is not ideal for us, but you can also see everything else relative to the control was less efficient, and, the eggs didn't do as well. Finally, I also looked at some plant data, not just the insect data. I looked at the size of the cotyledons, the surface area of them. I didn't see any significant differences there. But in terms of the plant stem length, so the height of these plants, there was an interaction. Everything but Psyllomyces was equal or greater in size, they're larger plants than the control. And this is a trend we've seen in many of our trials, in our lab over time. So, it doesn't really, matter the endophyte, you're going to see usually increased enhanced growth, which is important for this early stage cotton. So in conclusion, you know, fungal endophytes, I did, you know, I looked at quite a few different species. They are capable of reducing the feeding. They can reduce the number of hatched eggs. Specifically, Metarhizium was an ideal candidate here. They can increase the number of inviable eggs. So, you know, even if a Thrips is going to lay an egg, it may not do as well. It can also enhance the growth of the cotton. And so I had Bavaria and Metarhizium were two, you know, ideal candidates to look into. And so, of course, this is all done in the lab. It would need to be taken to the field and looked at, you know, to confirm the results. But I would like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Greg Sword, my lab members. Cesar is our lab manager. He wasn't here with us today. And my fellow lab mates, Carrie, Diana, Wenching, and Josephine, as well as funding from the A&M Diversity Fellowship, Cotton Inc., and A&M. Do you have any questions?
Questions for Lauren?
Thank you.